Turn to Zechariah. Chapter 4, verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? Proverbs 30. Verse 24. There are four things little upon the earth, and they are exceeding wise. The ants, the people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. The rock badgers are but a feeble folk, yet they make their house in the cliff. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. Thou takest hold of the lizard with the hands, yet is she in king's palaces. I'm thinking of a little link between what we were looking at a couple of weeks ago in Castle Will and what we're looking at now. In the verses that precede what we've just read in Proverbs, there are presented to us four who despise small things. It speaks of a servant when he reigns. It's verse 22. It's Jeroboam, servant of Solomon, taking the place of the king. The churl when he's filled with meat. That's Nabal. Nabal means churl. In the presence of David in rejection. An odious woman when she's married is Jezebel. We're looking at her. And a handmaid when she's heir to her mistress. That's Hagar. We studied Galatians in Castle Welland and considered the activity of fleshly religion opposed to the principles of grace. The activity of Jezebel, representative of what's apostate, opposed to Elijah. And conscious, I touched on this at Castle Welland, that in each one of these four, there was a response inappropriate to a day of small things. We're looking at that today with Elijah. An inappropriate response in a day of small things is to say, I alone. But I was just desirous of learning some practical lessons for each of us individually from each of the small things that are presented to us here. Four things little upon the earth, exceeding wise. The ants, the people not strong, yet they provide their food in summer. You think of an exceeding wise man like Joseph, who was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. 7 good years, 7 bad years. Make preparation in the good years for the bad years that are coming. Can I address those of you who are young? Once you get to about 30, 35, your brain starts to go to jelly. Remember scripture now while you can. Commit it to memory. I would have to speak personally. I've attempted in recent times to commit to memory scriptures, and by tomorrow morning they're gone. In young years, they remain with you. The ants prepare their food in the summer. If you look at Proverbs 6, I think it is, there's a little more that's told us about the ants. Verse verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Great word. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no chief, overseer, or ruler, provideth her bread in summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. No chief, there's no arbiter, no one judging and dividing between them, no one making decisions amongst them. Don't ever try to be like Martha, directing traffic in the presence of the Lord and amongst the brethren. Lord, tell Mary to do this. I'm doing this. Mary should be doing it too. The Lord didn't intervene in that household until Martha stepped up and tried to be the arbiter in the situation. Don't be like Martha. The ants, they have no overseer. There's no one watching. Don't only seek to do things for the Lord when someone's watching. I just remember a lovely day at the end of a conference in Melbourne. Some of the brethren are tidying up in the back hall where we have lunch. Some were sitting around not doing much. But I had left something in the main hall, and I opened the door to go and get it. And there was one of the little boys on his own in the meeting hall collecting up the hymn books. No, don't just do things when somebody's watching. Do it for the Lord. And no ruler. Don't wait until someone says, oh look, can you help out with this? Take initiative. Do things for the Lord. They gather. She gathereth her food in the harvest. If any have not ever yet turned to the Lord Jesus, there's a solemn word in the book of Jeremiah that the summer is over. The harvest is past and we are not yet safe. I cannot conceive that there's anybody here who doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus. But if you've never committed yourself to him in repentance and faith, do it before it's too late. The meaning of the word ant here is the same meaning from which the word circumcision is derived. It means cut off. The ant knows her life is short. The ant knows the time is short. Moses was a good ant. He says, teach us to number our days that we may acquire a wise heart. Use what we have today for the Lord while we can. That's the ant. It's a day of small things, but do what you can while you can. Verse 26, the rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their house in a cliff. You know, it's remarkable. If you look up a dictionary to see what the rock badger is, you get a reverse lesson about scripture. Because the dictionary says, it's called a coney in the King James. That's enlightening, isn't it? A coney. Well, what's that? Look up a dictionary. It says, it's a hyrax. Well, that's enlightening too, isn't it? So now jump on Wikipedia and see what a hyrax is. And it'll tell you that the hyrax is a little animal that appears to be chewing the cud. It's spoken of in scripture as an animal that chews the cud and doesn't have a divided hoof. And so you can't eat it if you're an Israelite. Wikipedia tells you the hyrax is an animal that appears to be chewing the cud, and therefore the Bible is mistaken, because it doesn't really chew the cud. Well, I'd suggest that the person who said it was a hyrax is mistaken, not that the Bible is mistaken. The only thing we know about this little animal, this rock badger as it's translated in my Bible, is the Hebrew word from which rock badger is translated. The Hebrew word is shaphan. S-H-A-P-H-A-N. And pop that into your smartphone and see how many times that comes up in scripture, and you find that most of the times it comes up, it's a man's name. It's a man's name who, in the days of Josiah, days of small things, days of weakness, was sent by Josiah to see the people who were restoring the temple. He was a trustworthy man. He was entrusted with funds, entrusted with money. He was a wise man. He knew what to do. He got to the temple and Hilkiah the priest says to him, "I found a book. You'll know what to do with it, won't you?" He's a wise man. He did. He took the book and he opened it and he read it. He read the book for himself. It was the book of the Word of God. A Shaphan, a rock badger, reads the Word of God for himself. His dwelling is in the cliff. Then, this is in 2 Kings somewhere. You can find where it is. He takes the book back to Josiah, the king, and he reads it to the king. Paul says to Timothy, "Give thyself to reading." Now, I understand that means the public reading, the reading out of Scripture. But you know yourself, if you don't read the Bible for yourself, you can't read it out to others. Have you ever done that? Is reading around in a circle, in a group of young people, and one comes to the Scripture and he's going blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, he's never read the Scripture for himself. Read it for yourself. Read it to others. Acquire a wise heart. And you know, after that, when Josiah had heard the word of God read to him by Shaphan, he says to Shaphan, "Go and make inquiry of the prophetess." Shaphan is a man who knows how to make inquiry. What we want to do when we come together with the Lord's people is not just come together to make pronouncements. We want to come together to inquire of the word of God. For sure we need to study it beforehand. For example, a Bible reading. Don't just turn up out of the blue and hope to get something. Search and dig and study beforehand, but don't expect to come to a Bible reading and make pronouncements. Expect to come to a Bible reading and make inquiry. Inquiry as to what the Word of God says, what the Spirit of God is saying. That's a rock badger. That's a Shaphan. It's a small, wise creature. Verse 27, "The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands." Isn't that a beautiful picture of what Nick was reading to us at the beginning of the history of the assembly? No king, no visible leader on earth, but the locusts are all, they're moving together with one accord in one place, one heart, one soul. This locust here, I think there's at least four kinds of locusts mentioned in Scripture. This is the one called in other places an arbeh, and that name derives from a word which means increase. And although we're in a day of small things, increase is natural to the assembly. Increase organically. Ephesians 4. Let's just read the words so I don't get them wrong. Ephesians 4, start at verse 15. "But holding the truth in love, that we may grow up to him in all things, who is the head, the Christ, from whom the whole body, fitted together and connected by every joint of supply, according to the working in its measure of each one part, works for itself the increase of the body to itself building up in love." This is organic increase. Every small component, every member, each one of us, every single one of us, vital, necessary to the self-building up of the body. Organic increase. There is numerical increase, which is native and natural to the assembly. The 120 in Acts chapter 1 become 3,000 in Acts chapter 2, and every day the Lord is adding. And then they become 5,000. And then the Lord, it says, a little later on, adds more than ever. And then a little later on, it says the assembly was multiplied. It is normal and natural for there to be numerical growth. And because we're in a day of small things, we ought not to negate that possibility, but pray for it, desire it. There's to be increase Affectionately, the apostle speaks to the Thessalonians and desires that they increase in love one for the other. There's to be increase individually. Growth, 1 Peter 2, as a newborn babe, desire the pure mental milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're to expect growth, desire growth, want growth, not to negate that we're in a day of small things, but we want to be like locusts. Moving together, you know, the locust, I think it's in the early chapters of Exodus. It says the locust was driven by the east wind. We had this afternoon, the wind blows where it will. A picture of the Holy Spirit. Paul says to the Thessalonians, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. He puts the two together. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. In a meeting together of the assembly where there's an expectation of prophesying, we don't read in black and white words in 1 Corinthians 14, for example, in the assembly, as gathered together, the Holy Spirit leads. You can't find a verse that talks about the leading of the Holy Spirit in the assembly. But read 1 Thessalonians 5. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. When are prophesying expected? When the assembly has come together. It's the Spirit of God who leads the people of God when the assembly comes together. And I think what Nick spoke to us from Acts 16 and the early chapters in Acts speaks strongly about the leading of the Spirit, the locusts. And then finally, the lizard. I know some Bibles translate it as spider. I don't care whether it's a lizard or a spider. It's a little thing. The only thing we know about it is it's little. The only time this word appears in the whole Bible is here. So you can't look up other parts of the Bible to see where it's mentioned and compare scripture with scripture. And there's not much point looking up the dictionary because it's not helpful. It's a little creature you can put in your hand. And I think it's wonderful that in Acts chapter 13, there was a man who was big, and he became a man who was small. Saul, who is Paul. What was Saul in the Old Testament? He was head and shoulders above everybody else. A big man. Saul, who is Paul. What does Paul mean? Small. Less than the least of all saints. But to the less than the least of all saints, he said, has this grace been committed? That I might unfold the unsearchable riches of the Christ. He unfolded the truth of the mystery, the truths that were precious and characteristic of what Christianity is, committed to one who was less than the least of all saints. He's in king's palaces. What stimulated this train of thought was the verse that Jeff read last night. It's translated differently in the King James than what I had it. Paul in the palace in Philippians 1. Paul in king's palaces. You know, the kings were instructed to write out for themselves a copy of the word of God in Deuteronomy 18. And in the Proverbs it says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the glory of kings to search out a thing. And the Apostle Paul was given to search out those things that had been hidden. Hidden throughout the ages in God. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the greatness of the truth of the mystery. May we just get enthused by them, thrilled with them. Ourselves taking a small place, as Paul did, but not being content with a small position. Enjoying the greatness and the heights of the position into which God has brought us, as has been revealed to us through one as small as the Apostle Paul. In a day of small things, don't be a despiser. Be one who is fully in it, wholeheartedly, for the glory of the Lord. Amen.